You're on Fab FM. It is Monday morning, and this time every week we talk to our Mayor Julia Loy, who joins me now. Hello, Julia.
Oh, good morning, Paul. How are you this morning?
Julia, I'm very proud of the Douglas Shire on the winning of this amazing award. Now, Ecotourism Australia CEO Rod Hillman accepted the Top 100 Sustainable Destinations Award on behalf of Douglas Shire in the Netherlands last week. The Shire is the only Australian region to feature in the exclusive list, which puts Douglas Shire closer to becoming the world's first eco-certified region. What an honour this is.
Look, we are super excited about this. It's something that we're so thrilled to have achieved. Certainly, it's something that there's many, many people, of course, and organisations and tourism operators who all should feel very, very proud. I suppose, essentially, this is something that since we've established the new council in 2014, we have had a very, very strong commitment to environmental sustainability. We know, of course, that we have these two wonderful World Heritage areas within our own boundaries, but we have actually demonstrated that we have this commitment. One of the first things we did when we adopted our corporate plan in 2014 is that we had a vision, and that vision was to be a leader in environmental sustainability, in financial sustainability, and also in cultural and social sustainability. And so all our plan since then and what we've been working towards has been to achieve that. We think that's a holistic way of developing our Shire, and we know that we have the community behind us. And so now to have achieved and be assessed by an independent assessment process that is a UN-backed organisation is a great thrill, because what it actually says is that other people, and this expert panel that assessed this included 60 tourism experts on that panel, tourism sustainability experts on that panel. They have independently assessed against a set of criteria, and we could not be more thrilled. But I really want to pay tribute particularly to our local tourism operators. We have so many operators who have been eco-certified for some time and have been working with us and with council and their communities and, of course, their customers. What we know is that people come to the Douglas Shire because of very largely our environmental credentials. Of course, we've got lovely beaches and there's lots of great tourism experiences, but essentially that is the feedback that we get. And our markets are a bit different than other markets in the EU. For example, we have a very strong European market, particularly Germany, and they show very strong interest in eco-accreditation. And we know that increasingly younger generations, particularly in the US, in China, in Japan, all these free and independent and increasingly wealthy young people, they also have a very, very strong appreciation of environmental credentials. And so what we want, of course, is that they come here. We know they enjoy it, but we also want them to be ambassadors that go out to the rest of the world and tell everyone about the Douglas Shire.
Absolutely. And I've been saying for a while that our eco-certified tourism operators are leading the way. There's 23 in all, but Julia, we need more to sign up.
Well, one of the actions that we're doing at the moment is that we are going to have an incentive program to encourage new and other tourism operators to become eco-certified, because there are costs involved. There's, different paperwork you have to do, different changes to practices. And that's, of course, one of the most important things. And quite often what people just need is some alternatives and some examples of how they can actually get to that end point. But also part of this award that we got, it's also an acknowledgement of what council has done in terms of our corporate sustainability strategy. I suppose another important aspect to this is our adoption of our economic development strategy, which we adopted early last year. And our key vision as part of that strategy was to become a world leading sustainable tropical shire. And so there's been many things that we have continued to do in terms of our event strategy, our illegal dumping strategy, for example, the waste reduction and recycling plan, our drinking water quality management improvement, and also heritage studies. So there's a whole lot of things that go into this, but essentially another very exciting reason that we think that we're very proud to have received this particular award is because it's a very important step to us becoming an eco-certified region. And if we do that, we'll be the first in Australia.
Yeah, you're right. Now, becoming the world's first eco-certified region, what would that mean to us, Julia?
Look, I think it would give us a really strong competitive edge to the people who want to come to this area for reasons that they can see true environmental sustainability. And as I've already said, it covers a lot of things. I mean, it covers our cultural inclusiveness of our communities. It's so many different aspects of what council is working on, but we're not working on this alone. We are working with our tourism organisations, our Chamber of Commerce, all our community groups. And I often say to people, and I seem to have been saying it a lot just recently, we do have a fantastic environment. We know that. But we also have fantastic people and a very, very strong sense of community in the Douglas Shire. And you really see that in times of tragedy, in times when we know we need to really pull together to help each other out. And that might be, you know, in terms of when we're working on domestic violence issues, when we're trying to make sure that our community is safe, the way we pull together, of course, in disasters. I mean, we had a cyclone, Cyclone Ita, only 9 weeks after the new council started in 2014. And I could not have been more proud of the community. And I know that they really appreciated council in terms of the information we gave out, the sort of help that we gave people when it was required. And we're constantly improving that disaster management. So part of my conversation with you this morning has really been to be able to show that an eco-certified region covers so many things. And it's really very, very community-based.
Absolutely. No, it's absolutely fantastic. We've always known, Julia, we have the best tourism operators in Australia, possibly the world, but now it's been proved. We're talking with our Mayor, Julia Loy, this morning, as we do every single Monday morning around this time. And Julia, the War on Wrecks Task Force public consultation meeting was held at the Port Douglas Community Hall. You know, the abandoned boats, everybody. You're the deputy chair of that task force, Julia. How did it all go, and what do you think came out of it for the future?
It was a really great meeting. It was our second meeting, and I was really thrilled that we were able to host it in Port Douglas. So we started off with the state convened task force, where we looked at some updated technical information. We've certainly identified hundreds of wrecks all up and down the coast of Queensland, and there's a priority list that will be removed, and some have already been removed. And so there's at least 10 in the Cairns region, and we've also got more on our list and quite a number in the Douglas Shire. So we started with that meeting, and then we invited the Douglas Shire Council convened War on Wrecks Task Force, which was actually started before the state government one was announced, which was interesting. So we had members from our own, you know, Coast Guard. We had different community, the Cairns Harbour Master was there as well. And so that was a really good discussion, because essentially that was identifying not just where the wrecks are, why they become wrecks or abandoned, issues around insurance, issues around registration, sort of long-term solutions that possibly will require some sort of legislative changes. So we had a good meeting with the two groups meeting earlier in the day, and then at 1:30 quite a number of people from the community, the broad community, came in and joined in the discussion. And we went over some of those same things, but the information from members of the community was vital. We even talked about a wreck in the Mossman River at that stage. And so I think people really got a better understanding of what are the challenges and how we can really make a difference. It's not just removing the wrecks, it's really trying to have some changes, possibly in legislation around registration and insurance, that could really have long-term impacts.
It might be worth repeating how much we believe this will cost. The figure that's been bandied around is about $250,000.
Yes, when council identified, I suppose, a priority Rex in the Dixon Inlet, and we did an estimate, it would cost $250,000, we think. Most of the cost to removing Rex is actually the mobilisation of the equipment. And so sometimes what you try to do is once you've actually got the equipment, you know, you try to remove as many as possible. Look, another important issue actually is where all it ends up. In terms of the wrecks themselves, are they broken up? Are they taken somewhere else? And so obviously with the strong desire, of course, of everyone to make sure that we're minimising what we put into landfills, that's another issue that we'll be looking at.
Mm. Okay, well, moving on, residents north of the Daintree River will play a key role in Douglas Shire Council's engineering traffic analysis at the Daintree River Ferry crossing, which will be released to market in the very near future, Julia.
Yes, we'll be tendering out to do this piece of very important work. We really want to make sure that we've got up-to-date analysis. It's not just about pinpointing data, it also involves engineering modelling that will be used to test various upgrade options and other demand management controls. We'll be looking at, you know, will we have a second ferry, a bridge, other travel demand initiatives. So what this is really about, having some accurate and so that we have confidence and have accurate data so that we know far more about the congestion issues. I suppose the main thing about this analysis is that we really want to quantify the delays and also really properly review the current level of service at the Daintree Ferry. We want to be able to know exactly what the road carrying capacity is, the peak hour demand, the duration of the peak. This assessment will detail the current congestion issues, model high-level solutions such as a second ferry, a bridge, or other travel demand initiatives. And so this will all be developed into a strategic transport plan, and then we'll go out back out to the community before the second round of consultation begins. We want to make sure that we really do get this right, because we need to have all this information when we go out to tender. Whatever we go out to tender, whether it is one ferry, two ferries, because we know that the current ferry contract expires in June 2021.
We're talking with our Mayor, Julia Loy, at the moment. And Julia, the October drain stenciling dates have been released. And tomorrow, Julia, at 10 a.m, the Mossman State School, corner William and Front Streets, and at 2 p.m, corner Front Street and Johnston Road. Can you paint a picture of exactly what's happening here?
What we're doing is we're actually working with our Reef Guardian schools, all the schools in the region, a part of the Great Barrier Reef Authority Reef Guardian program, which is a fantastic program. And so we're working with them. It's something we've really wanted to do for quite some time. And so we're also inviting any further schools or businesses, if they want to coordinate a stenciling session, to contact us. And so I think it's going to be a bit of fun. We've got, as you said, on tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, two different sessions each day. So that's covering a number of schools, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the designs are in real life, because what we have got in our foyer is fantastic examples of what people have already submitted as designs. So they're very exciting. So if people are really interested further in this, there's information on our website and our Facebook site. Land runoff is a big threat to the Great Barrier Reef, alongside, of course, other things like climate change, etc. And so any chemicals, litter or cigarette butts that enter these gutters, they are washed into stormwater drains and they do pollute our waterways and oceans.
And that'll be happening Wednesday, Wonga Beach and Kooya Beach, Thursday, Port Douglas, and then on Friday, Mossman Gorge. So, you know, it's getting around a little bit. Now, what I love too, Julia, it's involving the school kids as well.
Yes. No, that's great.
Now, I note, Julia, that next Saturday, October the 6th, Port Douglas Central Hotel celebrates 140 years of service to a very thirsty public. And I mention this only, Julia, because You know, in 1878 when they opened, we had, can you believe this? Can you believe we had 18 pubs in the port because of the discovery of gold in 1877 on the Hodgkinson River? I mean, we don't have 18 pubs anymore, but what we do have, Julian, it reminds me so much, we have a wonderful, rich history here in Port Douglas, and in fact, the whole Douglas Shire, don't we?
Look, we do, and it's fantastic because I think certainly the Central Hotel and actually the revamped Courthouse Hotel, which still has got so much of its sort of heritage character, and other hotels, I mean, the Exchange in Mossman. We had a beautiful Royal Hotel, unfortunately, that got burnt down only a number of years ago in Mossman, but all these pubs and watering holes and drinking holes, they do create so much character. And I think when you sort of were saying how many used to be here, for our small population, we actually have quite a lot. And you only have to see on, you know, really days like a Melbourne Calf or New Year's Eve, how many people come into town, how many people are in Mossman, how many people are in Port Douglas. And, of course, at that time, all the place is jumping. It's very vibrant and the pubs are doing very well.
No, it's fantastic. You know what I'd love to have, Julia, as a time machine? Can you imagine going back to 1878 Port Douglas with 18 pubs and walking down the main street? Wouldn't it be exciting? I think it would be exciting. It'd be like a Wild West town.
Look, it's interesting you say that, Paul, because it's something that I've often said to people. I would just adore it. To actually see how things were, how people dressed, how they got around, how you talked. I would love it. In fact, I think I was about 11 years old. I had this book, and I can't remember the name of it. I think it might be called Time Travel or something, and it was really my favourite book. And, of course, there's that great movie, I think it was around 1985, all about Time Machine going back.
Yeah, The Time Machine. Rod Taylor, the movie I absolutely love. I think you and I share this love of the time travel. But it was Rod Taylor, The Time Machine, and he had this time machine sort of in an area of his home, and then he travelled through time, and he was able to watch all of the changes happening outside his window, which was quite exciting.
You're absolutely right. And when we were doing a bit of a session only last week about our climate hazard adaptation strategy, we're actually looking at the predictions about erosion and sea level change in the future. Yeah. Now, most of Douglas is fine. If anyone's listening, it's quite interesting, and we're already sort of releasing and got more consultation about this. But it's fascinating. And I've been saying to someone just that afternoon, you know, I've always wanted to go back in the past, but I actually really want to go back in the future because I want to see what this area looks like in 2100, because some of our modelling is showing what it will be like in 2100.
But I've never thought about going to the future. I've always wanted to go back because I just think that was such a quieter and easier time. And we live in such a digital world now that back then it was so... Well, it was so simple.
Look, I think it would be great. I'd love to see it. Yeah.
Well, I think
I'm not sure we will.
I think I might have to get a DeLorean and get my flux capacitor, and you and I will travel back to 1878.
Yeah. But one thing I will say.
Yep.
Thank God we have the Douglas Shire Historical Society.
Yes.
Because I can't tell you how much amazing information they have, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of it. It is just fascinating. And so, whenever I have time, I just love to delve into whatever historical aspect I can of the Shire. And I'd really encourage other people to do the same. I mean, they're still working really hard on so many different aspects.
They do a wonderful job. You have a great Monday and rest of the week, Julia, and I'll talk to you next week. Stay safe.
Yep, you too. Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.